you give to us. For the mercy that brings us here every day, you've numbered us with the living, but not just the living, but the living with hope. Thank you for the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we're united this morning, through whom we also have received favor from you, and because of whom we're able to call upon your name. Thank you because you're a miracle-working God doing great and wonderful things. Father, we bless your name. Thank you, Father, for the city, for the state, for the country, for the world so beautiful that you have made. Thank you for your righteous right hand that preserves it from every evil. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your tender mercies and your loving kindness. You have been God. You have never changed, and you can never change. Thank you, Father. Thank you for keeping us the sun that shines, the air that moves, for all the wonderful things that you do. We bless your name. Thank you for accepting our worship this morning as well. Father, as we look into your word again to learn, again, Lord, as we have done a few times this morning already, I ask for wisdom. I ask for enlightenment for your people. I pray that every heart here will be conditioned to take advantage of your everlasting word. Lord, that every question will be answered by the time we leave, and the purpose for which you brought us into your presence, despite every plan of Satan, will be accomplished. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So last week we talked about Abraham, about the plan of God, and we encouraged one another. We looked at how patient God is in answering prayers, how he never forgets his word. We especially examined Abraham's life with a view to seeing the secret behind how God dealt with his people, and just to draw similarities in the way he also deals with us so that we don't become discouraged. We talked about God's plan, that God has a long-term plan, and oftentimes it comes and it looks as though it's been delayed, but how God never fails in his plans. And just in case we begin to think it unusual, especially because in Christianity, it's possible to go, Lord, I've been a Christian for long. You talked about joy eternally. What I read in the Bible is unending peace for your children. But the reality is my life has been full of troubles. We showed you some of the very real voices of Bible characters like Abraham, the father of faith, and how God dealt with him. So that we know that the way God dealt with Abraham is the same way. He's never changed his methods. He still deals with us. So we're looking into some of these Bible stories and characters to evince within their experience some of the truths, the unchangeable attributes. Because we at times become impatient, but God is never impatient. We can fail, but God never fails. So in case you are discouraged, just so you look at Abraham and some of these characters and you see that there's no inconsistency in God. What is happening to you is the Lord's modus operandi. That's exactly the way he operates. The things you are feeling, we want to see within the text, show how your heroes in the Bible also felt the same. So peradventure will be able to also copy some of their steadfastness, right? Some of the odds, some of the challenges that we face, the Bible deliberately was written to document them so that you know that some of these people in scriptures also faced the same challenges. And we discussed especially Father Abraham, how he was called from the awe of the Chaldeans, a regular call. And he went to Terah, with his father Terah, right? he went to Haran and settled the normal course of migration, just as you felt, well, his was a divine call, but you felt a need. In Abraham's life, you see the need to migrate from city to city. He got to Haran, and very soon the Lord spoke with him and said, now go to a city that I will show you, no addresses, no GPS, nothing. Just a city that I will show you. How he took off and he went to Shechem. Shechem was in the land of Canaan. And when he got to Shechem, he settled in Shechem for a while, and he rose up and he went to, the Bible says, Mamre. He settled between Bethel and Ai, the city of Ai. And then, naturally, he became an economic migrant as well, because the Bible says, even for this man that received this great promise, a famine arose, and he went into Egypt. I don't know how many states some of us have relocated to. Within the promise of God, just living your lives. For me, it was fascinating to see that these regular things happened to Abraham. You would think that a man who had the voice of God, from the moment he had the voice of God, only divine things will happen to them. But you see the regular, just life happening to him as life, despite the fact that we also live under the promise of a victory in Christ, regular life happens to us. There are different reasons that we find ourselves relocating. There's a reason why each one of us is present in Maryland today. Some of us in our wildest imagination would not have thought we'd be in Maryland. When some of you were thinking about America, probably you read about America or England in the storybooks where the milkman, you know, dropped a bottle of milk at your doorsteps, and, you know, where there was just there's the one main street. You know what you read in storybooks. But you've come to the hustle and bustle of Lagos Extraordinaire. Just stress. We weren't thinking about stress. And even when we got to America, some of us, we explain, some is marriage that brought you. Some of you, it's work. Some, you just happen to have had admission in Maryland. That's how you ended up. But in all of this, God has a plan. The plan of the Lord goes. It looks as though we're just living. So Abraham also was just living his life, so to speak. He found himself, although called to Canaan, he found himself, because of famine, in Egypt. And in Egypt, he found problems. Suddenly, the fine wife that was supposed to be a blessing to him became a cross, because now the Pharaoh, and he could not admit that that was his wife, because the Pharaoh found his wife attractive. So it was crisis that drove him to Egypt, right back to Bethel, to his starting point again. And you wonder, here's a man with purpose. I mean, when you just look at his problems in time, right? If you don't take the long-term view and see what God is doing, he really didn't look like a man that was supposed to inherit all the land of Canaan. In fact, in Acts chapter 7 that we read last week, when Stephen summarized his life, he said, our father Abraham was called from the Ur of the Chaldeans, and he was told by the Lord to go to a land that he will show him, and that he will inherit the land, but he did not so much as inherit a foot of it. That was a man who had a great promise. Yet, in all of his life, he did not have a foot of the land of Canaan. So at times you look and say that the plan of God has failed, but God has a plan. As we study the life of Abraham, and we're going to move on today to the life of his grandchild, Jacob, I want you, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of the living God, to see the inner workings of how our dear Heavenly Father works. He doesn't work in creative or creation impatience like us. We judge our progresses. We judge our joys and happiness, our accomplishments, by what is happening to us now. But God has a bigger plan. Now, I also, so that when you study this, you will also understand something, which the Bible makes clear. I want you to always differentiate between the plot of God and the plan of God. The gifts and the calling and the plan of God can never change. It's unconditional. But in achieving this plan, our lives go through different plots. And some of them seem unconnected and unrelated. And we're going to see a few of them today. Even the characters can change. God's plan can never change, but the plot can change. God can say, Israel will have a king, and the name will be Saul. And Saul misbehaves, and suddenly the name will be David. God can say, I'm going to establish your throne, O David, over all Israel for all eternity. If, condition, your children follow me. And David's kids refuse to do that, so God splits the kingdom into two. See how the plots keep changing. God can say, I'm going to take you to the promised land. And then it takes 40 years because the people still will not learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So he said he made them go round in that wilderness. The plan, they were going to inherit that promised land no matter what. He was not going to abandon them. But it wasn't that generation that inherited it. It's possible. Always think about the good plan of God. Let us not frustrate his plots in our lives. Whether the Lord uses you, whether you accomplish that plan or you are part of that plan or not, because the plan of God was greater than Abraham, as we saw last week. He was thinking that, Lord, I don't have a child. That was his problem. When the Lord in Genesis chapter 15 would answer Abraham, he was telling him of something that was to happen 400 and something years after the fact. We are thinking about today. We are thinking about our lives. But God's plan strategically for all of us is greater than these 80 years on earth or 90. And it will never change. In chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11 of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul did a thorough exposition on how the mind of God works. He tells us there how God refused to change his mind about Israel despite everything that Israel did. Yet, it wasn't the Israel that received the promise that eventually got the promise. Because that Israel frustrated the Lord. So the plan of the Lord came to pass, but the characters changed. The Lord will say to a king of Judah, if you abide in my law, then I will keep you. But they never did so. He kicked them out. Yet, the throne never departed from David. Same thing, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised us, has given us a promise of eternal life. The question is, are you going to be part of the plot? The promise is unconditional for his church. The question is, are you going to be part of the church? The church will inherit the kingdom of God. The question is your name going to be written in the Lamb's book of life? The question is not whether God is faithful to fulfill his plan or his plan will come to pass, as he showed us in Israel and the story of the promised land. Even a man like Moses did not enter the promised land. No character is too gifted to be removed from the plot. So don't let's confuse his plan and his specific promises with the different plots that he carried out. So we must all be faithful in our calling. All of us must make sure that even as we live daily by the grace of God, that we are totally always in line with the plan of God, obeying his words in everything that we do. That was what Abraham did. The Bible says that Abraham believed in God, and the Lord imputed him that to him as righteousness. That's what we're called to do. So that's the life of Abraham. I want you to know that no matter how bad today is, I know the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. They are of good, they are not of evil. No matter how difficult the life of David was, the Lord fulfilled his promise. Saul eventually died, but he inherited. David inherited the throne. Let's open our Bibles real quick because I want us to see a few things also from the life of Jacob. Genesis chapter 34. Look us to learn a few things from some of the things that happened to Jacob. We all remember the story of Jacob, right? We know that Abraham, eventually, he had many more sons, but had two primary sons. He had a son by his wife Sarah, the son of promise. He had Ishmael, that the Lord said, drive away from you, the son of the slave woman shall not inherit the promise. Then after that, he had sons by Keturah, but those were irrelevant sons. We didn't hear much about them. We know that Abraham was a nomad. He went from place to place. We know eventually that he had Isaac. In Isaac will all the nations of the world be blessed, according to the promise of God. We know that he did not spare Isaac, and God blessed him tremendously. He was ready to slaughter his favorite, his son, the son of promise, as a reflection of faith, showing that he did not price any gift above the giver of the gift. Those are all mysteries in scriptures. We know that this Abraham just died like any other regular man, which was shocking to me. I would have thought that the day he died, the trumpet in heaven would sound 4 or 5 times, because heaven had never seen a man like Abraham before. But Abraham, no matter how important you are, Abraham just died. And that's the mystery of you and I and every man and every character. The God's plan so transcends us that you will only play your role and you will die, and yet the plan of God will continue. At times, Satan makes us believe that our lives and what is happening to us is the inner end all of all things. But eventually, like any other man, Abraham just died, and he was just buried in the cave of Machpelah. Just like that. Till today, they don't know where he was. Or rather, my theory, please don't believe, my theory is in Israel, they made up a lot of sites that they just weren't sure, so they just approximated. This must be where this... But the intention of scripture is not to preserve these sites, because these people are not important. What is important is the plan of God, which is living and never dies. So the Bible reports to us that Abraham died. And once he died, the Bible immediately shifted the story to his son Isaac, who was the son of promise. And this Isaac had twin boys, Esau and Jacob. And before either of them was born, the plan of God continued. He said, the younger shall serve the older. And the funny thing to me was that God did not tell Isaac this, because no man is crucial or critical to the plan of God. You are just fortunate if you have a role and a part. The Lord told his wife, not him, Rebecca, because the Bible says that the twins began to fight in her womb. And she said, Lord, why is this? And the Lord said, well, because there are two nations in your womb, and the older shall serve the younger. And the woman kept this to that. The woman did not tell the husband. The Bible does not say so. But I would imagine that that was why he loved Esau, why the woman loved the child of promise. But in her creative being, she started plotting to make the plan of God come to pass. And we remember the story of Esau, of their kids, this Jacob and Esau. How he stole the promise from his brother. And the time of blessing, which was the blessing that transferred the covenant and the plan. He went there and dressed up as the older, of course, the mom advised. I pray that we shall not have such, especially if you're a firstborn, yes, may the Lord not let me have that kind of first. That kind of mother in Jesus' name. The mother that will give the blessing of the firstborn. We firstborns are very, we don't really like that Bible story at all. You don't want your younger brother taking your blessing. And the father declared a blessing, saying, all your brothers shall serve you. The principle for the plan of God was transferred to the younger man. This younger man was the least likely of candidates. One, he was younger. Very presumptuous man. He was cunning, very sly, very deceitful man. This Jacob. He plotted, he schemed about, I saw no reason why God would pick him. This other guy was a hunter, except that this other guy did not have a long-term view. He was myopic. He only saw his belly. He only saw what was happening to him now. So he sold his birthright. And I think the biggest virtue in Christianity, or as you relate to God, is that you are able to see the bigger picture and see what God is doing, not what you want to do. And that's why we fail severally in church today. We're too preoccupied with the more narrow picture. We don't see the bigger picture in Christianity. That's why we fail in doctrine, because at times we try to resolve Bible passages to answer now questions when they are written to answer questions relating to the larger plan. Esau was like that. He was not an honorable man. He sold his birthright. It's like a man who sells his meal today. The money you are supposed to invest for tomorrow, you are selling it to fulfill current desires, while the wise man is thinking about the future. So this is what we learned about Jacob. Eventually, the Lord had to, the Lord changed his name. The Lord touched his thigh bones, weakened him a bit, made him more useful. The Lord appeared to him several times, and the Lord blessed him tremendously. And yet, he did not inherit the promise either. He had a woman that he loved. I'm running through the story till we get to this story that I want us to focus on today. The uncle gave him the wrong woman. He ended up with two wives, two concubines. They had for him 12 children. One of them was Joseph and Benjamin. The rest, they formed. Benjamin died. Joseph was removed from the promise, from being one of the tribes of Israel, but his two kids, Ephraim and Manasseh, replaced. So we have 12 tribes of Israel. The two from Joseph, Benjamin was dead, and then the 10 from Jacob. And the plan of God continued. Now we're in the third generation. There were different promises. All these people were rich. But riches was not the plan of God. He had a greater plan. They had lots of troubles. But God was insistent on his own plans. May the Lord help us to key into his plans. So the 12 tribes of Israel. So I'd like to just show us something from Genesis chapter 34 about Jacob's life and some of the things we can learn from it as we're going through our own journey with Christ. And may the Lord grant to us patience to see into the plan of God. Chapter 34. This happened in the household of Jacob. Now, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. You know, they were nomads. They had settled. They were in Shechem. So they just went out. She went out for a sleepover. But she went out to see the daughters, her friends. She had made friends of the people in the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. I pray that we all be careful who our daughters do a sleepover with. His soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke very kindly to the young woman. He wasn't a bad man. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this young woman as a wife." And Jacob heard that he had defied Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came back. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. The sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by laying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife, and make marriages with us. Give us your daughters. Take our daughters to yourselves. So you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you, and dwell and trade in it, and acquire possessions for yourselves in it." Then Shechem said to her father and her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give you. Ask me ever so much dowry and gifts, and I will give according to what you say to me, and give me the young woman as a wife." But the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father and spoke deceitfully because he had defiled Dinah their sister. Something happened there, totally almost you think unrelated to God's plan. A horrible thing. In the interest of time, I'll quickly summarize what happened. They gave Shechem and Hamor the strictest of conditions. They said, "Look, it's impossible for you to marry our daughter unless all of you are ready to be circumcised, because it's illegal for us to give our daughters to uncircumcised men." And something amazing happened. This prince of the Hivites agreed. He went to the men in the country, and all of them got circumcised. The Bible also told us that this Shechem man was a honorable man amidst his brothers. He wasn't the typical rapist. What do they call it? A sin of passion, or what do you call it? That was what happened to him. But he was ready to do the right thing. I wish many more Christian men would be ready to do the right thing when they make mistakes. He was ready to do the right thing. Even incredible demand that had been made on him, he was ready to do it, and his father and all his brothers. But especially Simeon and Levi had a plan. They deliberately asked that these men be circumcised because they know when you go through circumcision at old age, you'll be weak and you can't fight. They were extremely diabolical. So after these men, 2-3 days, when these men got circumcised, they went into their towns and they killed all the men. And they took their sisters. Because of what they did, their dad had to once again relocate. Why are you relocating today, brethren? In going through the course of God's plan for our lives, many things will relocate us, even things we don't think are related. So Jacob had to leave Shechem and run away. And he told his sons, he said, "You have made my life more difficult." Now, here's a man who received the promise, brethren. Would you think things like that would be happening to him? He had not done nothing wrong. His children were misbehaving. He was supposed to have holy children. 12 sons that were supposed to be the glory of Israel, because his name became Israel. If you read further down, the Bible says that Reuben, his firstborn, also slept with his father's concubine. This man had a bunch of truants as kids. God gave him a bunch of really unlikely people as sons. Firstborn slept his father's concubine. Second and third son committed murder. Yet the plan of the Lord does not change. But they sow their sins, we suffer the consequence. And then we found, just like his fathers did, poor Israel was moving from land to land and was hated by all the people around him. Yet, he was blessed by the Lord. He had money, but he had no inheritance. Abraham had money, but he had no land and he had no son for the longest. Because the plan of God was not to give peace to Abraham or to Jacob, but through them to give peace to the whole world, through a son that was to come thousands of years after the fact, called Jesus Christ. All of what happened to Israel, all this story of adultery, all of these were plots in bringing to pass. The prophet already said that Jesus was to come through the tribe of Judah. Judah was the fourth son. Let's open our Bibles real quick to the chapter where he began to bless his sons. Amen. Close to the end of Genesis chapter 49. The sin that Simeon and Levi committed, the consequence of it, go to Genesis chapter 49, verse 5. When he began to bless the brothers. First, he started with Reuben, the Reuben that did a bad thing. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and beginning of my strength, the excellence of dignity and excellence of power. But you are as unstable as water. You shall not excel. This thing happened years before, and you would think the father already forgot. The soul that sinneth shall die. I want us to be very careful how we deal with God. They did not because of their mother stop his plan and his promise for Israel. But the principal that commits the soul, there's a consequence for it. I have no doubt that the original plan, the way he described Reuben here, was that the promise that Christ was to come through the tribe of Reuben. The excellency of the Father's power. Let's read on further. He said, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi, your brothers, instruments of cruelty are in you, are in your dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. You think that their father forgot. But when the promise and the inheritance and the plan, the principal that will carry out the plan was selected, the man skipped the first three sons. And he went to the fourth son, Judah. Said, Judah, you are he whom your brother shall praise. Who is the praise of Judah? The Lord Jesus Christ. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion who shall rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. That's why today you find that Christ came from the tribe of Judah. What are the lessons we're learning? The plan of God for our lives is long term. We can do things today that will complicate it. Let us be very careful how we live our lives. It does matter. It does. It's true that Israel inherited the promise, but you see that there's a consequence to every action. If you disobey the Lord today because of immediate problems, maybe it's anger in the case of Simeon and Levi, or maybe it's a sin of passion in the case of Reuben, it affects you. If you had time and we went to the book of Romans, you will see how the Lord was saying that the gifts and the calling, Paul was saying, of the Lord are without repentance. But the people who were once promised did not receive it because it did not mix with faith. So it's true, God will bring to pass his plan and his gift, but is it going to be through you? If it's going to be through you, you have to start paying attention to what God is saying to you. Exodus every one of us that are part. That's why the Bible says many are called, but very few are chosen. I pray that we'll not frustrate God's plan in our life. It matters. It matters. The way we obey God matters. The way we conduct our lives matters. The way we respond to issues matter. It will also determine whether we will be ultimately included in God's plan, which is unconditional. May the Lord help us to always walk in His way, to be diligent, to be faithful until the Lord comes. And then we'll go later also to the life of Joseph. By the way, if you read the book of Hebrews 11, all of these people had all of these experiences, and yet they did not inherit the promise. Because the promise is much bigger. The promise is that Jesus will come, and all the nations of the world will be blessed. Yes, there are many promises to us. There was a promise to Abraham, and God will fulfill His specific promise to you. But those are all subplots in the larger plot of God. Let's trust Him in every direction He's leading us. Let's know that tomorrow will be better. Though joy may stand through the night, joy, though sorrow may abide the night, that joy will come in the morning. It takes faith to continue to walk around in a land where they are calling you the father of many nations and you don't have a child. It takes a lot of faith. It takes faith for your mother to say to you that you are the child of promise and your brothers will serve you. And what you're getting is your uncle doing you in, trouble anywhere, fear. You have no land depth. You are going from, even the sheep you have to graze from here to there. You are finding, you are looking for land. It takes a lot of faith for you to look into your present life as you sit in church this morning and nothing seems to be working as you planned. It takes faith to believe in God and know that in spite, actually because of what you're going through, that God is working out His plan through you. If we don't keep our eyes on that, brethren, there's no how we can be aligned with God's plan. Forget all of the jingles, all of the sermons, all of the theories, sermonizing, theologies. The experience of how God deals with His people shows that He who will walk with God will go through several things, and you must believe in Him. You must hope against hope. Don't be carried away. Don't be carried away by current challenges in your life. Because we all know today, nobody knows tomorrow. People who met Abraham at the initial part of his life laughed him to scorn, saying, "Oh, you're an old man, you could never have a child again." Those who saw Isaac made fun of him. Said, "Didn't they call you the blessed of the land? Didn't you tell your friends that you're going to inherit this whole place?" Yet, when the Bible says that there was a famine in all the land, you would think that that would exclude Jacob. But do you know the reason they went into Egypt to look for food? They were affected by the same problem that affected the rest of the world, famine. It was as though regular things were happening to the anointed of God. Their life was going on normally. You would think that the Lord would preserve their fields so that in the land they were living in, there would be rain there. Although the rest of the world had 7 years when there would be famine. No, the Lord allowed them to suffer what everybody, and He was using their circumstances to guard them to His plan. And we'll see that in the life of Joseph next week. I don't know what the circumstance is today, but God is using it for something as long as you are in Christ. For all things work together for those who love God and who are the called. Work together for good. Who are the called according to His purpose. The Lord has a plan. He had a plan for Jacob. But Jacob's life was ordinary. I can bet you, brethren, if they were to show the life of Jacob on the screen, if they were to show his life on TV, not the Hollywood version of it, his daily experiences, none of you will swap your life for his if they didn't show you the conclusion, right? I mean, if they showed you the conclusion, my child will become the prime minister. Yeah, you would jump at that. You say, it's worth the trouble. But if they were to show his daily grind to each one of us, none of us would swap our lives for him. Because I remember Pharaoh called him and asked him to describe his life, and he said, it's full of trouble. Is your life full of trouble? God has a plan. Everybody in scriptures. The scary thing is, at times that plan was not achieved in their lifestyle, in their lifetime. In fact, for all of them, the joy of Abraham, the father, he's the father of many nations, is on that day when the trumpet will sound, and all of us who are sons of faith will arise to the presence of the Lord. Then he will say, the trouble has been worth it. The Lord has a plan. Do you want your promise now? Are you going to key into the eternal promise of the Almighty God? One thing I know, the Lord is not going to quicken his promise for you and I. He's not going to change his plan. He's not going to change the timing of it. We will have to accommodate him. That's why the Bible tells us that it's those who endure to the end that will be saved. It's a scary thing. Many people take a shortcut. Many people are so overwhelmed by the peculiar problems of the day that once Satan offers you an alternative, you take it. Abraham tried it as well. Right? Sarah offered him her maid. And she did. And she actually said, Lord, look, just make the promise go through Ishmael. Offered him Hagar. And the Lord said, no. Hagar is your mistake. I don't make a mistake. I know what I told you and I will do it. And Hagar became a problem to Abraham. So there's always the temptation for shortcut. Because at times God's plan is hard for us to follow. But blessed is the soul that is patient. No matter what it is, all things work together for good. So let's trust in the Lord and the power of his might. Let's remember the story of Jacob, a man that had several dreams and built several altars to the glory of the Lord. His sons were not well behaved. He did not cut the picture of a blessed man for the long. It was a restless man running away from his own brother. And then his favorite sons, one of them, was killed, betrayed by his own brother. The man spent even his later years in sorrow. Can you imagine what it feels like when they told you an animal has killed your child? The child of your old age. Those were things that men of God went through. So are you going through things today? God has a plan. Stay the course. Please don't become... What I see around me is that Satan is selling fake Christianity to a lot of us. And we're not careful. Many of us are already deceived. This way of God is too hard. Take the shortcut. This is what all your mates do. Do it as well. Heaven helps those who help themselves. There are some familiar quotes like that. Right? Or, my favorite one of all, you have to use wisdom. And in using wisdom, some of us have abandoned faith. Because the way of faith is too hard. It's too long. In fact, there doesn't appear to be a promise to it. You've tried it. You look at the lives of those who have tried it, who have remained faithful in Christ. You look at the way they look. You look at what happened to their children and you go, So Satan is selling us ways where we will not abandon God. But in the same token, we will always live in our own counsel as well. Counterfeit plans to us. He has totally sold us that God's plan is your plan. If your plan is not working, it means God's plan is not working. But that is not true. It's a lie. Every character in the Bible, every single character in the Bible, had to second subjugate their plan for the larger plan of God. You have a question? Yeah.
I heard someone make a statement saying, talking about marriage, something, and the person made a statement saying that, you know, it's amazing how who a woman gets married to can change their destiny. And I really pondered on that. I'm like, is that possible? When if we, as children of God, you know, I'm like, is that possible that circumstances and all that can change someone's destiny? And I really couldn't find the answer. You know, I've been pondering on that for a while.
Okay. The truth is, I don't know. I can only venture because, quite frankly, I believe in only one destiny. Mm-hmm. The Bible is clear about the destiny I believe in. As long as I'm faithful in Jesus, when the trumpet sounds, all of these subplots do not matter. I will have the fulfillment of glory. That is the plan that is unchangeable. Now, the plots that I take, maybe I make a mistake. And of course, all of us, Abraham made a mistake, which is what we've been talking about. I know that as long as we believe in him and we're faithful to him, he's able to realign those. You will suffer the consequences. Abraham did. But he will, as long as you remain faithful, as you're a worshiper, as you are a man who honors the Lord, he's going to make even our mistakes to work together for good for us. That much I know.
So regardless of the mistakes we make, you know, because we'll make mistakes.
In the precondition that you remain faithful and you love the Lord and you're sincere with him. Abraham is an example. He made a mistake. He did not ask the Lord before. He wished, I'm sure if you let Abraham do it again, he would go, here's a man who had to drive away his own son. He didn't want to do it, but he had to do it because he made a mistake that he should not have made. The Lord did not spare him the consequence of that mistake, but the plan of God regarding him still came to pass. The children of Israel made the mistake of mumbling and grumbling, and they still got to the promised land, but a whole generation died. So that's the effect of the mistakes we make. But God's plan will remain. And
so
what is God's plan?
Abraham's
his promise.
Destiny did not change.
Of course, you and I know we are okay. His destiny. Yeah. We have not changed.
Okay.
Right. But let's not forget, the lesson we are learning is not to make the mistakes.
Right.
That's
okay.
Why these things were written. Not to frustrate God's plan in our lives. Mm-hmm. Right. In the case of Reuben, Simon, and Levi, giving the blessings of Israel, you can see that the blessing that the Messiah will come from them skipped the three of them, and the father mentioned why, and he went to Judah. Those are consequences. The plan and the destiny of Israel still came to pass, but the party through whom it came to pass changed. If we are going to relate it to the current life that we live in, the Lord has made a plan that at the sound of the trumpet, the righteous in the Lord will arise. That is the destiny of a believer. Like I said, but there's nothing in the Bible that guarantees you that you are one of them. Except, like Paul said, we abide in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, taking heed to his word. Those who do that, they will hear the trumpet. God's word will come to pass. But if we do not use the means of grace and abide in him, he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, unless we pay attention to his word, then although God's plan will come to pass, you may not be one of them. He has told us, no sinner, no thief, none of them will see the glory of God. The word is telling us, no, it doesn't really mean that. That means nobody will be there. No, there are people, 12,000 in the cave, that the Lord has hidden. Although the prophet said, all your prophets are dead. They are faithful people. I pray that we'll be one of them. The promise of God will stand. All of what is happening to us, they are relevant. They are dots that we connect in eternity. Something that, there's a reason why Sister Folake is sitting in that chair in Maryland for this time and this season. She may never know it. I may never know it. It may be that God brought Sister Folake here because of someone that she's supposed to talk to
3 years to come. That may be the reason the whole of New Covenant Church is here. Just, and we see it in the life of Joseph. When Joseph said, the only reason everything that happened to me, is so that you people will not die. Can you imagine? The only reason I was sold into slavery, the only reason I went to jail, the only reason is just, and you will notice that once he died, the story about Joseph stopped because he had fulfilled his purpose. But the plan of God transcended Joseph. It continued until the plan hatched in Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We don't know, but Ashegun, Sister Tone, there are things that we are going through today. They are designed by God. It's very frustrating, but the Lord has a plan. There's a reason why you took a left on 495 and not a right, if you are called according to God's purpose. We have to believe that. The Bible says, and Abraham believed the Lord. I pray that our eyes will always be on the bigger plan as we close. Brother Kole, were you going to say something?
Yes, just to follow up on one sister. I think, I don't know who said the statement about who you marry. I think they're probably saying that don't marry the wrong, follow the counsel of God to pick your spouse, right? Okay, so why I said that is that it's kind of, aligns with what you just said. The first three brothers that were bypassed was because they went outside. So I guess the warning is don't go outside of the, exactly. So follow the, like Brother Ali said, follow the Lord, do the right things, then you will be part of that plan of God. Yeah. If you mess up along the way and you refuse to align, you bypass, somebody else replaces you.
I remember the Lord said he was going to destroy the whole of Israel and start afresh. He wasn't going to abandon his plan. And Moses said, please, Lord, don't do that. Please, Lord. He's willing to do that. We are dispensable resources. So when I hear about big men of God and all of this, I'm not too impressed because I know about a big God. And I know that everybody, and he chooses the least likely people to advance his plans. Let's honor the Lord God Almighty and give him praise as we stand on our feet and close. Let's worship him. Let our hearts go to the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's exalt him in our souls. Let's exalt him in our hearts. Let's bless his holy name. I'll write to read a passage as we close today in Romans. I pray that our eyes, Paul said something. He said, the eye of our understanding being enlightened, that we may be able to see the length and the depth. We may be able to see the width together with all the saints and be filled with the fullness of God. I pray that the Lord will grant to us spiritual eyes so that we will not see only in time, but we'll see in time and eternity, and we'll be able to rejoice in all tribulation and wait patiently for the Lord. I read from Romans chapter 11 as we close. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of God, or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. As the church says, amen. Lord, we bless you, Lord. Father, there's a wisdom in your word and an understanding that makes us overcome the world, that makes us overcome the flesh. There's a wisdom that helps us to be able to stand steadfast. Father, the knowing of Jesus Christ, of his riches that transcends death and life itself, that gives us peace in the midst of trouble, calm in the midst of the storm. The wisdom, the promise, the glory that made the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary endure the shame to bring salvation to all of mankind. Baba, I pray that you please improve our theology. Help us to see the way you see, to read the Bible the way you wrote it. Help us, Father, to seek deeper things in your word. Help us, God, give us courage, strengthen our might by your spirit in our inner man. Help us, God, make us one of the few. Your word says, blessed are your eyes because they see these things, because there are many who would have wanted to but cannot. I pray, Lord, I will not just look at the headlines or buy the tapes or the CDs or join the Christian culture, uttering glib things, empty things. Father, I pray, God, I will be patient, staring at the perfect law of liberty, looking for the deep things of the Lord Jesus, the things that are truly worthy of your glory. We ask this. Bless us as we go this week. Pray there will be no accidents, that the joy of the Lord will rest upon us. Father, your word says, O God, that with favor you will encompass the righteous as though they are encompassed with a shield. At the workplace, please encompass us with favor. Let there be no confusion of mind. For those who look for you for contracts and projects, I pray that your divine hand will continue to provide. That our glory may always be to you, O Lord. That we have no reasons to be afraid before unbelievers, but rather they will see your work in the midst of us and believe in Jesus, your Son. Father, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.